Check this out. Let me just give you guys a quick little story real quick. When Pastor Richard asked me if I could teach this Wednesday, I was excited. I still am. Still am excited. Because this message that I have for you guys tonight wasn't the original message that I had for you guys. And that's a good thing. Because the original message that I had for you guys, I was like, okay, cool. You know what? I started studying. I was like, okay, I'm going to grab this message that I had already wrote. And then God said, you know what? I want you to talk about something else. I said, ay. What am I going to talk about? So he dropped it in my heart. Because I know that in this room, everybody say in this room, everybody say in this room, sitting in these chairs, that there's pastors in here. You don't need to repeat that. It's okay. Because I know that there's pastors in here. I know that there's reverends in here. I know that there's missionaries in here. I know that there's future leaders in here. Maybe there's a future youth pastor in here that's going to take over this. Sorry, Pastor Richard, they can kick you out. I'm just saying. I know that for sure. Mark, I heard you say that on Sunday morning. Well, yeah, I'm saying it again because I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. We're all called for something. We are. Mark, I'm just a kid from the barrio. I think I was too. I don't know. Yeah. My family came from Mount Vernon. Then we moved to the north end of San Bernardino. So I think Mount Vernon is right. So I kind of came from the hood, right? Probably just some of you guys. But I know for a fact that there's future pastors in here, reverends, that there's people who are going to preach the word of God in here. Maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you're already doing it. I know that for a fact. That's why I say it. So tonight, everybody say tonight. Tonight. The title of this message. No, you don't need to say that. Tonight, the title of the message is called. It's called Star Wars. No, I'm kidding. The forces. It's called The Story of a Teenager. Everybody point at yourself and say, I'm a teenager. I'm going to say that too. I'm a teenager. All my adults in the back say, hey, I'm a teenager. Yeah, in our hearts we are. Yes, we are. In my heart we are. But Mark, I'm a teenager. What does the Bible have to say about a teenager? What does the Bible have to say about me? Little old me. Or maybe you a thug up here. Any thugs? Don't raise your hand. No. Okay, fine. Raise your hand. I'm a thug. I don't care. The Bible has something to say to you. God has something to say to you. God has a plan for you. In case you didn't know that. So this is called The Story of a Teenager. Now, I got three stories to tell you guys. Three stories. But before we get to the first story, I want to read something real quick. I want to read something. It's in Timothy. Everybody got your Bibles, right? Right? If you don't trip. We got it on the overhead. There you go. But everybody's taking notes, right? Right? Mental notes. Yes, those are the best. If you're taking mental notes, that's cool. But check this out. This is in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12 in NLT. And check this out. I want everybody to say this. I want everybody to repeat this. Check this out. God wants to tell you guys something tonight. So whether you want to pay attention or not, hey, I'm calling people up. No, I'm not, but hey. I'm just an usher, just like my people up in the back. So I know how it goes from Wednesday to Wednesday. Watching all y'all in the back row. Sal. No, I'm kidding. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Everybody, on the count of three, it says, 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, wait. Everybody stop. Everybody's all off. Yeah, it was just like, everybody, so then my mama said, what? Where'd your mama come from? Everybody on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. Don't let think less of you. All right. What about my people over here? Anything? Y'all just say, hey, they took it over. They messed it up. Let's try that. Everybody at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers. Stop right there. Be an example to all believers. Be an example to all believers. Okay, let's keep going. 1, 2, 3. In what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Timothy saying, because you are young, don't let it bother you. Because you are young and there's some older folks out there and they don't like to listen to younger people, don't trip about that. He's saying, don't worry about that, Timothy. Little bruh man. Can we call him bruh man? Timothy's name is now bruh man from the fifth floor. Never mind. Bad reference. Oh, you knew what it was. All right, cool. My end. I'm the man. Okay, anyways. Old school show from like the 90s. He's saying, don't trip. Because you're young, don't trip. There's going to be people out there, some older folks, and they're going to talk down. They're not going to listen to you. But don't trip, Timothy. Why? Because God had a plan for Timothy. Just like he has a plan for you. He does. Really, Mark? He got a plan for me? Yeah. Okay. I guess so then. He has a plan for each and every one of us, no matter how young you are. And I'm going to tell you guys that because our first story, we're going to start in Genesis. And we're going to talk about a guy. The name of the guy is Joseph. So Joseph, the slave. The slave, Joseph. Y'all know who Joseph was? Old Testament in Genesis? Yeah? You in the front row? Hey, brother. Hey, how you doing? He's a teenager. Check this out. So am I in my heart. Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. Joseph. Everybody say Joseph. Can you guys guess how old Joseph was? Not 13. Almost. He was 17 years old. Dang. 17 years old. And this brother made it to the Bible. Because it says it. That's how I know. It says it in the Word of God. You don't believe me? Check this out. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 2, right here. This is the second account of Jacob and his family when Joseph was 17 years old. That's how I know. Thank you very much. Amen. Clip that. Joseph was 17 years old. And the name at this point is the slave. Why? Joseph wasn't light. He wasn't. He wasn't light. Picture this. Joseph, let's say he was an A student. How many A students out there? Woo! That's a lot. How many B students out there? Okay, how about my C students? In high school, I was almost there. What about my D students? Woo! All right, all right. I'm not going to say F students. I was about a D average student. But Joseph, let's picture this. Joseph studied the word. Let's say he was an A student in high school throughout all his school years. His father used to teach him the Bible. They used to have studies together. But Joseph was hated. There was people, there was folks that didn't like him. You know who those folks were? His brothers. His own family didn't like him. His own brothers did not like their own brother. That's jacked up, right? How many of you got flat? No, I'm not going to go there. Okay, fine. Family members that don't like you. Don't raise a hand. He had family members that did not like him. And what did his family members do? When he was 17, his family members did not like him. His brothers didn't like him. And what they do? They sold him. Jacked up. His own brothers sold him into slavery. That is jacked up. His own brothers didn't like him. They sold him into slavery. That is really, really messed up. Can I get an amen to that? Amen to that being messed up. His own brothers didn't like him. So here he is. He is now a slave. He ends up in the king's palace, in the Pharaoh's palace. Jacked up. Wait, is that jacked up? That is not jacked up, right? Or is it? Is it jacked up or no? Okay, here's this straight-A kid, straight-A student. He gets sold into slavery. He ends up at the Pharaoh's palace, but he's working as a slave. Okay, so he was living in a tent, and now he's just like, bam, big old palace. Did he move up? I say, yeah. But what happens next is that Joseph, he goes through temptation. He goes through hatred. He goes through being betrayed by his own brothers. And the officer under Pharaoh, his wife tries to sleep with Joseph. Dang. The officer, all of a sudden, everybody's like, "Ooh, hey, I had that." No, better not say that. So what happens? He denies her. And what happens? He gets locked up. He gets thrown into prison. He gets thrown into prison for what? Doing the right thing. There's other people inside prison. That's jacked up. What if they ask, "What's up, little homie? What you in here for?" "Ah, homie, I got locked up for doing the right thing, not me." They're like, "Nah, don't know." But he got locked up for doing the right thing. He was sold into slavery, straight-A student. Sold into slavery, went, worked at the palace, did the right thing, and then still got locked up. That's jacked up. People betrayed him. How many of you have been betrayed up in here? I'll be the first to raise my hand. He was betrayed by his own family, by his own brothers. Not right. Ended up getting locked up for doing the right thing. Maybe some of us in here are doing the right thing. Hello. Maybe some of us are doing the right thing. And yet we still fall into that temptation. It's going to be there. But are you a slave to it? Are you a slave to temptation? You don't need to answer that. Keep that to yourself. Ask yourself, am I a slave to temptation? Am I a slave to something? Maybe I got a boyfriend and I'm a slave to him. Maybe I got a girlfriend, fellas, it could happen, and I'm a slave to her. And inside, you're locked up. You're locked up inside, and you just can't get out. And you're a slave. Something bad's going on. You fall into something. Your homies want to go somewhere. You fall into it. But you know what? The good thing about Joseph is that no matter what was thrown at him, no matter what was thrown at him, he used that as a step to go forward. He was betrayed. He used that as a step. He was locked up. He used that as a step. Why? Because he kept praising God. No matter what, he focused on God. No matter what was going around him, what was going on around him, he kept his heart, he kept his eyes on God. And you know what? That ended up reaching the Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh had some dreams. And of course, you guys know the story that Joseph, he was an interpreter of dreams. You could tell him a dream and he would tell you what the dream means. So word got up when he was locked up. Word went all the way up to Pharaoh. Now, how many of you know Pharaoh is like his top dog? There ain't nobody above him except Jesus. Amen. There you go. But he was top dog. And check this out. If you're still with me, turn to Genesis chapter 41. We're going to start in verse number 37. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to read this. Go ahead. It says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. Next verse. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? Speaking to Joseph. So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. So here Pharaoh is. And he sees Joseph filled with the Spirit of God. Even though he is locked up, even though he is in prison, even though he's a slave, Pharaoh can still see the Spirit of God in him. Next one. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. Pharaoh saying this to Joseph, a slave who was in prison. Slave who was in prison serving him, cleaning his palace, cleaning his floors. Next one. You will be in charge of my court. Here everything changed for Joseph. He went from being hated, being betrayed, all that stuff, being sold, to being a slave, to being locked up, to going to prison. And now here Pharaoh is changing things. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. What's that mean? That means that he was Pharaoh's right-hand man. He went from a slave, went from nothing, cleaning floors, and now he's going to be seated right at the right hand of Pharaoh. Next one. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Next one. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring. Dang, Pharaoh be taking rings off now? All right, cool. If you like it, put a ring on it then. for those of you that got that. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen. That means he got Versace or something. I don't know. Maybe something from H&M. H&M fans up in here? No? All right, cool. From wherever. Sears? Anybody? Wally World? Right? Anybody? All right, cool. Hey, Wally World is dope. Anyways, he dressed him in fine linen from Walmart clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Dang. So now he put a gold chain around him. Straight locked up. Straight came out of prison. Now he's rocking a chain. Hey, now he's repping NWA. Anyways, came out. Teardrop in his eye now. Big old, like, I don't know, something on his neck. What could we put on his neck? A spider? Okay, we'll put a diamond then. Yeah, I like the diamond. So what are you saying, Mark? What am I saying is that even though he was a slave, even though some of us are a slave, God will still use you in your position that you are at. God will still use you. Why? Because he wants you. He wants all of you. He wants you to keep your eyes on him. He wants you to keep your focus on him. And look at what happened. He ended up being the right hand of Pharaoh. Ended up being higher than everybody else, only answering to Pharaoh. That's the slave, Joseph. Next story, real quick. Next story. It's titled The Wicked. The Wicked. Yes, the Wicked. And this story is about Josiah. How many of you heard about Josiah? Okay, a few of you. In case you didn't know, Josiah, we have it up there? The wicked Josiah, yes. Josiah came from a jacked up family. I don't want to call people out there. I don't want to be like, how many of you from jacked up families? And then your parents, I see your parents, hey, your family's jacked up. All right. So don't raise your hands. Josiah came from a jacked up family. Mark, what does that mean, jacked up? It means it's jacked up. That's what that means. Josiah, check this out. Josiah's great-grandfather followed God with all his heart. That's what we get from Scripture. That's what it says in the Word of God. His great-grandfather. Now, for his grandfather was jacked up. His grandfather did wicked things, prayed to other idols, did not worship God. He was into people reading his palms, reading his future. Maybe there's somebody with a little crystal ball. And then, have you seen a crystal ball like that? That says, and then. Let me tell you this. San Bernardino, it's jacked up. It really is. Josiah came from a jacked up kingdom, came from a jacked up family where they practice witchcraft. They practice darkness in his kingdom, his own kingdom that he was living in. Now, check this out. Josiah was not a teenager. He wasn't. He wasn't a teenager, but I use this story because it reminds me of me. But Josiah wasn't a teenager. Josiah was only 8 years old. How many of you got 8-year-old brothers and sisters? Or nieces or cousins? Josiah was only 8 years old. That means that Josiah was over there right across the street. Well, I shouldn't say across the street. Across the courtyard in Seaside. Would that be 8 years old? Okay. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Dang! Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. But even though his grandfather was wicked, his father followed in the steps of his grandfather. Wicked. Leading the kingdom straight to say how. Which they were. But out of all that darkness, just like here in San Bernardino, just like here in the Inland Empire, out of all that darkness, there was one light in there. And God said, Josiah, you right there, I know your heart. And he was king at 8 years old. And what happened? Josiah ended up taking over the kingdom. And he brought peace, basically, to his kingdom. He brought back God's word to the kingdom. He took away all those false idols. He kicked them right out the door. He took away all that wickedness, all that darkness. Kicked it right out of the kingdom. Just like here, youth, there's some of us in here. Or I'm going to say all of you because I believe this. We live in a dark city. We live in a wicked city, but all of you are a light. All of you have a calling. And God is calling you, hey, will you be the light in your city? Will you be the light in your school? Will you be the light to your friends, to your family? Will that be you to come up out of that darkness? So ask yourselves, will that be me? Yes, it will be you, because God is calling you. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. But Mark, I don't know it. Don't trip. You will. You will. I don't want to talk about last week, and I'm not. But out of the darkness comes light. Out of the darkness comes light. Still with me? Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 24, real quick. It says, Josiah also got rid of all the mediums and psychics, the household gods, the idols, and every other kind of detestable. Almost got caught right there, huh? Devil, get behind me. Just kidding. Anyways, detestable practice, both in Jerusalem and throughout the land of Judah. He did this in obedience to the laws written in the scroll that Hilkiah, the priest, had found in the Lord's temple. Keep going. Next one. 25. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. So ask yourself. No, keep that up. Keep it up. Ask yourself. Am I following the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength? Josiah came from a wicked kingdom. He came from a wicked family. And yet God still used him. Some of us come from a wicked family, wicked background. But we all come, if you live in the Inland Empire, from a wicked city. And God could use each and every one of you. But are you following with all your heart, all your soul, and strength? And tell yourself, am I doing it? Am I doing what God has for me? But Mark, I'm still young. So Josiah was 8 years old. Joseph was 17 years old. There's other people in the Bible who are even younger. Some are probably in their mid-20s, young 20s. But you today, Rock Youth, whatever age you are, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you in this city. And that's why I declare and I'm saying that there are pastors in here, that there are missionaries in here, that there are reverends in here. There's people called to ministry in here. There's leaders in here, in this very room. But are you going to keep following God with all your heart? Let's go to the third story now. Third and our last story. It's titled The Virgin. And her name's Mary. Mary. We all know her as Jesus' mom. Mary. If you read the Bible and if you study, you know, what scholars have to say, all that stuff, Mary is between 12 and 14. 12 and 14, and God used her. She ended up what? Becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Becoming Jesus' mother. But put yourself in Mary's shoes. What did Mary go through at that age? Let's say she was the captain of the high school cheerleading team. Any captains, cheerleader captains up in here? Okay. Maybe she wasn't a cheerleader. Maybe she liked softball. Captain of the softball team. Maybe captain of the soccer team. There you go. Captain of the volleyball team. Maybe she even played football. Hey, you never know. She probably bucked some people. Maybe she was captain of the wrestling team. There you go. She was 12, between 12 and 14 years old when God called her. How many of you are 12 in here? Okay, cool. All right. And what happened? She was probably like in the choir, maybe lead singer, like, People saw her. There's probably people telling their daughters, Mira, you have to be like her. That's who you have to be like. Okay, not like this. She was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, Joseph, let's say he was captain of the football team, I guess, captain of the wrestling team, something like that. Hey, but even at that, Joseph had a plan already. He was engaged to Mary, who was a virgin. He was engaged to Mary. He had his own company already. He was a carpenter. He's like, I'm going to build you a house. That way, so when we get married, you come live with me, and all this house is going to be yours. I'm going to build it from the ground up with my bare hands. Ladies, how many of you would like a guy that build you a house with his bare hands? Right? Fellas, y'all got some work to do. Now, Joseph started building the house for Mary. So that way, so when they get married, they could go ahead, move in that house and all that stuff. Have a family, everything. But what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. She became pregnant with Jesus. So now you have this most popular girl. And now all of a sudden, dang, I thought she was living for God. I thought she was all for Jesus. I thought she was all for God. And now you have people talking in her own town, in her own church, talking about her now. Saying, what the heck happened? Mate, I don't want you to be like her anymore. I could picture her aunts, her own tías. Why? Because I got tías. I could picture her own tías. Ay, mira, here she comes. Miss Get Around. Look at her. Right? But picture that. Her own people in her own town talking about her. Maybe her own family members. Here she was, probably in the choir, did all the right things. And now all of a sudden she's being talked about. She's being called whatever she's being called. People are talking about her behind her back. She comes around the corner of the street and people are talking bad about her. It's jacked up. I had people talk about me before. I don't know about y'all. And it hurts. It's jacked up. And there she is. But God called her. She was only between 12 and 14. When God called her. But what about you guys? Some of us are 12 in here. Some of us are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Maybe some of you are 18. And God's calling you out of this dark city. Maybe you're the slave just like Joseph. You can't get away from things that are holding on to you. You can't break free from things that are holding on to you. And you keep falling slave into that, just like Joseph. Or maybe you're Josiah. Came from a wicked background. Your family members, they do wicked things. This own city that we live in, it's wicked. You could drive down the street and see a little neon sign with a hand on it. Probably has a triangle on it with the eye in the middle of it. It says psychic. Straight wicked. That's the city that we live in. But yet God is calling each and every one of you to be something in that city. Just like Josiah. He's calling you. But are you going to answer that calling? Are you going to rise up and say, you know what, God? Even though I am young, even though I'm at this age, even though I'm at this point in my life, I want to fix my eyes on you. Or maybe you're just like Mary. You're doing good. And people just talk about you. Jacked up. Mark, I want to tell you the truth, Mark. I've heard the calling in my life. I'd heard Jesus speaking in my life. I felt the Holy Spirit knocking on my heart. And yet, I still don't want to let go of things of this world. I still don't want to let go who I am. I still don't want to let go of what I'm doing right now. I'm not ready for that, Mark. I'm not ready to let this go. I feel at this point in my life that it's not time. And when is my time? Then I'll go. No, well, you got that wrong. Because God is calling you right now. Maybe he already called you and you just haven't responded yet. I have a lot of people that I talk to, and they tell me those things. Mark, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready to give up what I have. I'm not ready to give up what I'm doing. And I tell them, you're never going to be ready. You never are. You're never going to be ready. And yet, but you still continue to hold on to everything. You still continue to hold on to what you're doing. And you don't want to let it go because it's making you feel good. That's jacked up. Because God is calling you to be greater. Greater than what you are right now. There's a few more young people that I want to mention real quick. It's found in Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. We're going to read it through verse number 18. Put it up. It says, one day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Next verse. Jesus called out to them. Let's say, I believe, if I get things right, I believe they're in their early 20s, mid-20s. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But Jesus called out to them. And he said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Next one. And they left their nets at once. Does it say they left their nets a day from now? Does it say they left their nets a week from now? No, it doesn't. It says, and they left their nets at once and followed him, meaning Jesus. Some of us are holding on to that net. Some of us are holding on to maybe it's those friends that are in that net and they keep bringing you back and you're not ready to let it go. Some of us are holding things probably onto our past that is continuing, is stopping us from continuing that walk with God, continue from stopping us to take that walk with Jesus. Maybe it's our family members, our wicked family members. And they're inside of that net and you're holding on to them. You're like, you know what? I want to be just like them. Hey, I got to say something. I wanted to be like my family too. But God called me to do something else. Just like he's calling you. But what are you going to do with that net? That net that you're holding on to? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue to drag it along and your steps are going to be little baby steps? Or are you going to drop that net tonight and say, you know what? I'm going to drop it and I'm going to follow you. And I believe that's for a lot of people in this room. Because when I was your guys' age, I held on to a lot of stuff. I used to love to party. I used to love to drink. I used to love to do drugs. What, Mark, you did all that? Yes, I did. And it grabbed a hold of me. And I was holding on. I didn't want to let it go. Till finally, Jesus called me and said, follow me. And I let that sucker go. But what about you guys? Ask yourself that question. Am I willing to drop that net and follow Jesus? Am I willing to do that for him? God gave it all when he put himself on the cross and died for you. Why can't you let go of that net that you're hanging on to and follow him? Drop it at once. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Why do I say that? Why? Because in the Bible it says that we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. We're not promised next month. We're not promised next year. We're not. It says in the Bible, life is but a vapor. What the heck does that mean, Mark? Have you ever taken a bottle and just squirted it, a little squirt bottle, and the mist comes flying out? You see that mist shoot out, and then all of a sudden, it just starts disappearing as it falls? That's how quick life is. Life is going to shoot out so quick, and then all of a sudden you're going to see it fall, and pretty soon you're going to be at an old age. Oh, wait, let me stop right there. Some of us not might make it that far. I hate to tell you that, but some of us might not make it till tomorrow. I pray to God that that does not happen. Some of us not make it to next week. Some of us not might make it to next month. I hope that, and I pray that that does not happen, but life is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. It happened so quick. Quick story for you guys. I had a best friend. Now I say I had, meaning past tense. This was about 2 years ago. I didn't see him for about 11, maybe 12 years after we graduated from high school. I didn't see him. And we were best friends in high school. We did everything together. We partied together. We just probably just went out to the movies together. We ate lunch together, all that good stuff, everything. And then once we graduated, boom, that was it. We didn't see each other. I didn't see him for about 11, 12 years. And then one day, he comes walking through those doors that lead up into the youth foyer right there. And I see him. And he sees me. And all I see is just a big old smile on his face. Big old smile. And I'm smiling right back. That's my boy. I haven't seen him in so many years. Yeah, we lost contact throughout those years. He comes running up to me. Gives me a bear hug. Rawr. Bear hug. Cracks my back and everything. He comes running up to me. Right as this service ended, we were right in the foyer. And we start chatting it up. Man, how you been? He's like, dude, I'm married now. I have a little baby girl. I have a daughter. You know, she's this old. I'm like, dude, I'm married too. I have a little baby girl. So we start chatting it up. We start talking it up. And then we exchange numbers. Right outside, right here. We exchange numbers. And then we tell each other, next week, let's plan a date. That way so our wives can meet. That way so our daughters can have a little play date. I said, cool, man. I said, hey, but what brings you to here tonight? Because you know what, man? I just felt like God was just calling me. I just felt God was banging on my heart, that my heart was knocking. And I felt a beating inside of my heart. He goes, so my mom invited me, and I showed up. And I went to the main service. And he goes, and Pastor Jim, I guess he's your senior pastor. I said, yeah, that's my senior pastor. He said, he gave an altar call. And I responded. I don't know what the heck happened, but my hand went up, Mark. I say, you know what? That was God calling you. That was the Holy Spirit calling you. He said, man, I'm just happy to be here. So I start praying with him. And I start telling him how happy I am to see him. And that God is finally calling him to the place that he wants him to be. But since we started talking about a week that we were going to meet up. A week after we talked. That week never came. It never came for him. It never came for my homie. It never came for my friend. A week after he gave his life to God. A week after he submitted and said, God, I give you everything. He passed away. And that's why I say to you tonight. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next week. We're not promised next month. And now, when are you going to let go of that net and say, God, I give you my all. I give you my heart, God. Maybe that's some of you in this room. Or maybe that's all of you. But Mark, I gave my heart to God before. Yeah, but have you been following through with what God has for you? Have you been following? Have your steps been the way that God has them laid out for you? Are you? Are you following what God has for you? You rose your hand before, but you backed off. Nah. I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to tell people about Jesus yet. Or have you not given your heart and all to God? So if that's you, I'm speaking to you. If you gave your heart to him before, and now you're backing off of it, that's you.